Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Patriot Cast, your place for video games, discussion, news, banter, and all that good general stuff. My name is Andrew, and as always, I'm your host. With me, I have two faithful co-hosts. As always, returning, Mr. Jordan Wyatt from New Zealand. Mr. Jordan Wyatt, how are you today?
It's great. I'm great. I'm wonderful. I'm great. Yesterday I was out geocaching, and we were out until it got too dark, and we couldn't find one. And it's in a wonderful place, too. It's at the Settling Ponds here, where all the sewage gets treated, and there's giant ponds of, well, human waste. So we're going back out there in a few hours to find a small plastic container.
Yes.
So visit New Zealand, where we treat our sewage. Good.
Yeah. Well, geocaching is, just not to get too carried away, it's a very, very interesting thing that's happening. So just to fill the viewers in, this is what I understand of it. So people plant things around the world and you kind of find it for them, right? And you find, and they put the coordinates online and you have to find those things.
GPS.
Yeah.
Using GPS. So it's like a video game in the real world in a way. And I had a meeting of people, and people of all ages get into it. A lot of people over 40, I'd say the majority.
Right.
A lot of younger people. And it's kind of like in a video game. It's, you know, like Grand Theft Auto, like there's something on the map and it's like, drive here, pick up this gun, then go and shoot this person. It's kind of like that. You've got a little GPS device giving you directions.
While you're doing it, kill any hookers, you know?
Sometimes
your cousin
people
to a nightclub here and there. No?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes people leave cocaine and drugs in it. You know, the what is it? You snort beer and drink cocaine, yeah?
That's right, that's
so
right.
Sometimes you can find that inside the geocaches. But yeah, I'm great, guys. Thank you for asking me, Andrew.
It's great to have you on, as always. Unfortunately, Javier is busy today. But maybe he'll pop on, I don't know, sometime during the show. If he will, we'll definitely bring him in. But we've got a returning co-host. We've got, he was on the show, I think, two shows back. And we had a great time having him back. And he's back this week. Mr. Toby Edwards is back. Toby, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Getting ready for to travel to E3, yes?
Yeah, packing all my bags and making sure I get all the interviews and stuff in order.
Yeah, that's gonna be the old Patriots, you know, Patriot cast here. You know, you're a special correspondent. So
I can't wait to. I'm not sure how we're gonna work out the time.
We'll do it off. You know, we've got to keep the gears moving in the background. We'll do it off air after the show. But anyway, so finally, after 2 weeks, we have something worthwhile to talk about, which isn't the PlayStation Network. Guess, you know, that's amazing. That really is amazing. You know, the PlayStation Network has blown over, but Sony is in the news, and we're going to be talking about a couple of little items this week, on this week's show. But the first one I wanted to talk about is, you know, if you're listening, you remember that we were originally a Metal Gear Solid podcast, and we're only about, I don't know, under 10 episodes into the new format, but yes, we were originally a Metal Gear Solid podcast, and we, you know, we want to, whenever there is Metal Gear Solid news, we want to, you know, keep faithful to our roots, if you will, you know, OG style, if lack of a better word. So Mr.
we need Javier here.
Yeah, because he is the OG from, you know, the, anyway, never mind. We're going to
South Central,
East Coast, West Coast battles. You know, it's not cool. But anyway, so let's. Mr. Kojima has apparently the news is on his podcast. I'm not sure which one of his podcasts he said it on, but he said it anyway. And I've just pulled this from Kotaku, so you know, you've got to reference those guys. Basically, he's been answering fan questions, specific ones that he's picked, I guess. And the answers, it's a very binary answer system. It's either yes or no. So it's like, you know, he doesn't really.
I think it's really an AI. It's Kojima AI, right?
Yeah. He doesn't really. It's like the IKEA software, you know, sales lady. Whenever you go on the IKEA website, they have like a AI kind of thing. You can talk to them, and most of the time they give you some bullshit answer you don't understand. But anyway, so Kojima's answer was basically yes or no. You know, he wasn't very descriptive about it. You know, he didn't really go into great, you know, background and storytelling and that kind of stuff. You know, it's just yes or no. And these are all MGS answers. And I was actually surprised. A lot of these are things that, you know, I thought he was going to be shady on, but it was just yes or no answers. So I'm going to go through these quickly I'm going to read them out, and I'm going to say the answer. And I'm going to ask my two co-hosts what they think about it. And actually, Jordan, do you want to read the answers? Jordan? Yes? Okay.
Sure thing. Yes. Maybe I can do one set of the answers, the negative vernacular, and maybe Toby. I called him Tony. Toby can do the positive. Sorry, Toby.
The thing is, we want this to be some kind of, you know,
audience participation.
We want the audience to be. Kind of
on the edge of their seat.
They're probably already know, but we want them to keep guessing. We don't want to say that, you know, because they'll guess from the very beginning. Oh, Jordan's reading the negative ones, Toby's reading the positive ones.
No, I just jump in.
I could do the no's and yeses, and you could do the questions.
Yes, yeah. That's it. So, yeah, Jordan, you read the questions, and Toby gives out the answers, and I sit there commentating and judging you. So, I think that's going to work out, right? Okay, well, Jordan, Toby, fire away when you're ready, gentlemen.
Are you ready, Toby?
I am indeed ready.
I think I'm ready. Okay. First question. You'll be at the Microsoft E3 press conference.
No, I will not. All right. I will be, but I won't.
That's the point. Okay, Toby is Mr. Kojima here. So, Toby, you've got to get into your Mr. Kojima. Yes. Can you do like a Mr. Kojima where, you know, mid-dog?
I don't want to sound racist at this point.
Yeah, I'm imagining a Mr. Miyagi sort of wax off kind of thing.
Oh, I rewatched that. I rewatched that about a week ago. It was hilarious. Danielson! No! Yeah! Take my car, Danielson. Anyway. And,
his English gets worse throughout
the
movie.
So illegal. Neither of them can drive. He gets insurance, and this old man just gives him a car. I'm sure he doesn't have an MOT certificate or anything. That kid could have killed himself. Anyway.
Ministry of Truth?
Yes.
You UK people?
Yeah, Ministry of Truth. So, Mr. Kojima will not be at this year's E3. I think he's been at a lot of E3s. He was definitely at the one E3-09 when he announced Rising. I'm not sure. Last year, was he at E3? I don't think so, right?
There was a demo E3 last year. I think they announced it the year before.
Yeah, the producers, like the game's producers were there, but I don't think he was there. He's too busy putting his food onto Twitter and that kind of stuff. no surprise really there, but I think that this first answer will tie into what the other questions is, guys. Any of you want to comment on this? If you don't, Jordan can move on to number two.
Let's move on, I guess.
Jordan?
Let's move on.
We're having
technical problems. You'll announce Metal Gear... Anyway, you announce Metal Gear Solid 5 at this E3.
No chance.
No. So, once again, Mr. Kojima said no to this. And that's an interesting... Do we think we will ever get a Metal Gear Solid 5? Or do you think the series is too far into numbers that they're just going to do the Peace Walker Rising angle? Jordan?
Yeah, well, we kind of got the answer for that, sadly, and Metal Gear Solid 5 is Peace Walker. Metal Gear Solid 5 is Peace Walker, which I don't think is worthy of being a Metal Gear Solid 5 candidate, but whatever. I do think it's going to be weird if they do continue putting out future Metal Gear Solids, and it'll be Metal Gear Solid 6, Metal Gear Solid 7. Yeah. It's going to get a bit crazy. So. Yeah,
definitely. Toby?
I think if there is ever an MGS 5 or whatever you call it, MGS 6, I think it'd probably be a launch title for the PlayStation 4. You know, it's one of their strongest title series, so that's almost inevitable.
Interesting you mentioned launch titles, because one of the questions is going to be tied into that. Yeah, MGS 5, I really don't think there is... Because I think the numbering system was about Solid Snake's story, and now, you know... and. I've been reading some of the responses to this news on the web, and you know, a lot of people were like, I remember Kojima like stating explicitly that MGS4 will be the end of the MGS saga. That's it. That's the end. But other things got in the way. I guess it's business after all. You can't blame him. So anyway, yes, MGS5.
Hey, well, I actually think there is some kind of shady deal there, because you know. Every game, he always says, this is going to be the last one. He's not involved with it. I mean, wasn't it that way with Metal Gear Solid 2, really? Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to do that one. Then it was Metal Gear Solid 3. It just keeps dragging out. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it's some kind of blackmail deal in the mob of Konami. They've got some kind of naked pictures of him or doing cocaine or something. They've got some kind of leverage on the guy, right? I mean, it can't. How much money are they offering? We'll give you $100 million, just money down, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't wanted to do a single one of the damn games, I don't think, since like the '80s. And every game in 3D, it's always been some kind of blackmail.
I want to get into Kojima's psyche, but I think that he's just trying to raise hype. You know, whenever someone thinks it's the last thing, it's like the Michael Jackson Bad tour. I remember he was saying it was his last tour even back then, before I was born. Funny how I remember it.
And then this is it. Remember the last one? And it really kind of was.
I think there's always this finality because people are always scared that this is going to be the last one. So you buy it because you want it, you know, it's the last one. So, you know, as we discussed before, I think MGS is going to live on forever. Better or for worse. I don't know. Anyway, so yes, MGS 5 will not be announced at E3. And that's an interesting question. Do we think, and this wasn't really a question, not that I can see here. Do we think a new MGS will be announced at E3?
No.
That would be weird because Rising. You see, the thing is, I'll get into Rising later on. All right, guys. Jordan, please go into question number 3.
This next one's confusing. Maybe I should read in a reporter sort of radio voice. MGS 3DS will go on sale at the end of 2011.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it will. Okay, so, excuse me, I'm just taking bites of orange while you guys are talking. I haven't eaten anything all day.
Lovely image.
Yeah, sorry. Not very professional of me, of course. Right, this is an interesting one, of course. Actually, it's not a very interesting one. I think we knew all of this. MGS 3D will come out at the end of 2011. Anyone have anything to say about this? Anyone? It's coming out. No.
I'm kind of looking forward to it, actually, because before this turned into a general video games podcast, that I was thinking of like asking to come on the show, and I was kind of embarrassed that the only MGS game I haven't played is 3, which is quite embarrassing. Oh, I played the beginning, and you know, I know a fair amount about it, but because I don't have a PlayStation 2, I can't play it. So I'm kind of excited for this one.
Oh, MGS 3 is a very fine game. I don't know how well the remake is going to hold up, but MGS 3 itself is one of those timeless games. Jordan.
Yeah, do you remember how far you got in the beginning, Toby?
Pretty much to the scene with the bridge.
Do you remember roughly anything about
the bridge?
Okay.
Go on.
I had my own troubles with the start of Snake Eater. The first whole Virtuous mission, I was just terrible at it. And simple things like detection, hiding from the guards, I was terrible at it. And I'd be like hiding in the bushes, like a guy lying down in long grass. It's like, oh, my number's like 70. That means I'm pretty much invisible, right? It's like, hey, what's over there, you know? I was absolutely terrible at it. But I think, as everyone on the Patriot cast would say, I hope that you can... I don't know, do whatever you have to do to steal or buy or build your own PlayStation 2 so you can play it.
Well, the thing is, I bought a second-hand PlayStation 2, and then I got off eBay a copy of MGS 3. I got really excited about it, put it in, got to pretty much that bridge scene, and then it kept freezing on me. So I was absolutely gutted. So I did try my hardest to get it to work, but then I heard about the 3DS, and I thought maybe that's just the better way to go.
Yes,
and right. just cut my losses.
Well, it's very interesting. It'll be interesting to see. You know, hopefully, if you're still with us, if the podcast is still around by the time the game comes out, it'll be interesting to see what you think of it. So, gentlemen, move on to question 4.
Okay, the hero of Metal Gear Solid. Rising is Grey Fox.
No.
No. Okay, it's funny because that was the big thing when Rising was first announced. Everyone kept on thinking it was Grey Fox. It was Grey Fox, Grey Fox. It was Grey Fox or it was Sunny. No one thought, you know, no, it can't be Raiden. It's too obvious. It's Raiden, therefore it can't be Raiden. It's way too obvious, right? It can't be Raiden. I mean, he looks just like Raiden, but he's got to be Grey Fox, right? No. To me, this isn't really a big news. He said Raiden is back, and then he said Raiden. It's Raiden. Anyone care to comment on this?
No. Well, Toby,
yes.
Sorry, I don't think Kojima would want to touch that sort of part or time of the franchise. I don't think he'd. You know, I think that's kind of like the MGS1 sort of area of the timeline. I think he probably keeps quite close to his heart, and I don't think he wants to really exploit that.
Like when he ported it onto GameCube, right?
That's not a sort of changing the storyline as it were, but
no. He just did that by creating MGS3 and then the subsequent prequel.
We could go on about that. But.
Yeah, let's not revert back to the old ways. Although maybe people want to. Jordan.
Yeah, I think it would be personally interesting if it was somehow Grey Fox or if he appears in the story. I don't know how they could pull it off. I don't think they look anything alike, really. Although, I suppose Noel and that bloody Portable Ops or whatever it was, one of those games that you try and forget about. The guy that, when he gets you trapped in the conference room in one of the boss fights, he just stands outside the door while you hide under the, under the table, just absolutely wetting your pants, and he goes, every 30 seconds or so, and it's terrifying. And if you get out from underneath the table, he'll rush in, the door will slide open, and he'll try and stab you with a machete. So it was a terrifying game, all on the PSP, and it gives me nightmares to this day. It would be great if they could work him into the story somehow, just because obviously it's kind of like Cyborg Ninja 2.0 or something. And they both have that kind of archetype that both are immensely powerful. They're just off any kind of chart. You can't really measure just how fast or strong or whatever they are. And yet they both sort of fail on every bit. I mean, he gets beaten up in a computer room by a guy who can just punch him, basically, while he teleports and flips and goes invisible, and he's a vibrating, we should have won that one. The Rex battle at the end, if a guy can do it by throwing chaff grenades and shooting at the glowing red spot every now and then, surely a ninja who can move at bullet time can do the same thing. But it's just, they're interesting characters. It would be interesting to see Grey Fox somehow involved in the story.
Definitely. I really, to be honest, couldn't care less about that answer there. To me, it's always
thanks.
Been Raiden.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah. Gentlemen, go on with question 5, the multiplayer one.
Metal Gear Solid Rising's multiplayer is going to be on display.
Nope.
No. Okay, so I think the better question would have been, will MGS Rising have multiplayer? It seemed like a game, I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to have multiplayer. I really don't think it's going to have multiplayer, because it just seems like a single player game. Maybe, I don't know, guys, what do we think? Jordan?
I think if it had co-op built into the story, especially online co-op, it could be quite fun. I don't exactly know how the hell that would work, but maybe they could just make it that during the cutscenes, say, maybe there is just the one Raiden, but maybe they could put more enemies into the game dynamically, make the bosses more difficult, and you just have a couple Raidens running about in different, uniform colors, like the old Moonwalker game, as you run around and jump off walls and cut people with a giant sword. I don't think a team deathmatch kind of thing. I don't see that working. A bunch of people running around and hiding behind things and stabbing people with swords. I don't think it's that exciting, I think we've got other games for that kind of thing. And with no ranged attacks, it doesn't sound exciting. But I hope it does have some kind of co-op thing for the main story. I think it could be fun, at least. I'd love to play it with the Patriot Cast hosts.
Oh, definitely. If it comes out in the end, because that's another thing. All right, gentlemen, Toby, your word.
I was just gonna say, reluctantly, I think that there's this kind of general feeling going around the industry where you can't have a best-selling game unless it's got multiplayer, and I'm scared that they will add a multiplayer in, even if it's subpar. What with it not being Kojima directing it, and
I think they're gonna give away.
Let's face it, Grand Theft Auto 4, it had terrible multiplayer. I mean, I used to think it was going to be the greatest thing ever. You could basically live your life. You'd finish work, you'd come home.
I think it was better than the majority of multiplayer games, Jordan.
Have you tried the team deathmatch and things? I mean, basically no one played
it. The game itself isn't designed for multiplayer. I think they did very well with what they had. I mean, its primary purpose is not multiplayer. A lot of people praise the game.
We're talking about a game years in development, and they had $100 million or whatever, cash thrown at them, like Kojima.
I'd have to disagree. I think a lot of people praise the game's multiplayer and had a lot of fun in it. I think the multiplayer was very good. But anyway, next question, gentlemen.
Okay. Metal Gear Solid Rising goes on sale on November 1st, 2011.
No.
No. Okay, and this brings me to the fact, when is this game going to come out? So, I mean, obviously, it's not going to be coming out before November the 1st. At least, I don't think it's going to be coming out, because I think they would have announced it by now, right? Right? They announce games the game release date's pretty far ahead in advancement. So I'm putting my money down that it's going to be 2012. And that's ridiculous, because the game originally got announced 2009. So it's going to be, 3 years worth of actual development. I mean, yes, you can say that the MGS4 had a lot of development and all that kind of stuff, but I think they announced Rising too early. I think the game was still in early, very, very early pre-production development. I think when they actually announced it, all they had was that slide they made, that pre-rendered Raiden. That was it, because I think they felt like they needed to put something out there. Maybe Microsoft, I mean, we've talked about this in the previous episodes. I think maybe Microsoft pressured them into it. I think maybe Konami pressured them into it. And I really don't think the game was ready. And it, to me, really didn't make any sense from Kojima's point of view, because they had Peace Walker announced there as well, and Peace Walker has been and gone, and those two games were announced at exactly the same, at exactly the same E3, and even the website was for both of them. So, and Peace Walker's gone and forgotten, and maybe by the time Rising comes out, Peace Walker 2 is going to come out. So it's I think they should have announced it at last year's E3. That would have made a lot more sense, but it's this game's gonna take a lot of, it's gonna feel like it's been in development for a long time, and is it going to live up to the expectations? I don't know. Toby.
Well, there was that news during the week that the voice actor who plays Raiden hasn't heard anything from Kojima Productions at all, and he's completely in the dark. So I can't really see how they're going to do a Raiden game without him. And they're usually quite sort of faithful to the voice actors. I can't see them using another one. So that kind of points to the fact that probably not going to be out this year.
No, definitely, definitely not. Yeah, that I mean, the game's got to have voice acting, at least some of it, because if the game doesn't have voice acting, that'll be. I mean, Zelda still doesn't have voice acting, but Nintendo is special in that respect. Yeah,
Nintendo. Super Juice.
Jordan.
Yeah, that's because it's sunny, guys. Just kidding. It's just a ridiculous thing that will it be on sale on November 1st? Okay. The next question, will it be on sale November 2nd? Will it be on
Yes.
November 3rd? It's such a ridiculous to be so specific. And it does feel like it's been in development for forever. I mean, I suppose all Metal Gear Solid games are like this. It's just we haven't been doing the Patriot Cast for all the other ones, otherwise we'd be talking about, oh, when's Metal Gear Solid 1 coming out, I'd be quite interested to ask Toby's opinion on this one. When we saw the tech demo, I mean, I think when you see something like that, they had to build the game engine from scratch to make it Xbox 360 compatible and everything. They had all the physics right. They had all the character models you'd imagine. I mean, obviously they have the story. Regardless of what a Mr. Buster Nut thinks, they generally do have the story written down before they start making a $100 million game. They don't just kind of like, oh yeah, now let's have this happen. Although Metal Gear Solid 4 did kind of feel like that, with all like explosions and then people getting arms cut off and trapped, it's just
Yeah,
like it was
that's the problem with
nanomachines.
tying
That's
up
how they solve
things
it.
you didn't think you were going to tie up,
So, yeah, so maybe for that
Cause like
game
a
they were
bite in
just
the
were
ass.
just like it's like, dude, you should make this person come back, make Meryl come back, and have Johnny like want to do her. Yeah. Like drunken frat boys or something.
I don't know.
So surely, but
It
it
seems
felt
to
like the
me.
game should have been finished by now, is what I mean. When at least they should have fleshed it out more. We should have heard more about it by now. And when you have things like the physics and stuff, it really does sound like a matter of just building the actual levels by now, you'd think, and rendering the cutscenes. And yeah, I think surely the game should be further in development than what we've seen by now.
Toby.
Well, it seems to me that, I mean, yeah, you're right. I think that what's happened is that there's been some sort of problem with the story. Whether it's sort of gone through Kojima Productions and they've said no, or something like that,
No, Raiden
some
can't
like
die.
massive plot point
Yeah.
where the whole thing's built around and they've had to start from scratch or something like that,
But I mean, after all, I mean, they said they're not focusing on story, and I really don't think that, like, look, this, let me just give you a rough. idea of what I think the story is going to be like. Raiden's going to go from one place to another, killing bad guys. There's going to be some kind of a boss, which is going to be substantial to the game only. He's going to defeat them at the very end of the game.
Yeah.
Status quo is returned for MGS 2. Maybe something happens that makes things a bit different, but not drastically different, so it doesn't alter the reality of MGS 4 and that kind of stuff. Or it can just turn out to be like an alternate universe and no one gives a crap, just like I'm starting to about the, towards this game. Jordan?
Well, I was always more excited about Ryzen than Peace Walker, and I think Peace Walker came and went. I don't plan on ever touching that devil PSP console again. And see, I'm trying to segue into a new future story. I just think it's rising. I mean, I just think if they have the physics done, surely they've had the story done. I don't think rendering cutscenes takes that long, really. It just seems to have been so many years in development. When you think once they have all the tools, it should just be the matter of just drawing every wall, every car parked on the side of the road. You'd think it would be pretty much done. And you look at the modern game development, like for iOS and things, and they can just knock out game after game. And you know, every few months, it seems, Gameloft has another game out. So surely some kind of giant, huge Konami and Kojima, and Kojima's not with it, but he is with it. Surely they are getting a hell of a lot bigger budget than a game for cell phones. Surely it should be able to be at least demonstrated what it's going to look like after these years in development.
But Toby...
Well, although it may be hard to swallow, I mean, or unbelievable rather, we could always take the positive view that they've taken the Valve approach and are just spending as much time as they possibly can on it to get it good. And they just don't, you know, think it's up to par. But
the Duke,
we can always hope.
The Duke,
Valve have been.
We can always hope.
A bit too much time of Half-Life 2 Episode 3, in my opinion. But I think the point is, you know, this is a business. Japanese businesses do things in a different way. They try to get things out as quickly as they can, except for Team ICO. It seems they take years with their games. Last Guardian still isn't out. To be honest with you, I think that there's some kind of internal complications. Maybe they just announced it too early. Maybe the game was just in early development, and the game, you know, a lot of these games take 3 years to develop. I just think that they announced it too bloody early. Jordan.
We should mention that. I guess in a way we'd complain if they hadn't announced it as fans of the series. We'd want to know, you'd think, in a way, but at the same time, just knowing that there's going to be another Metal Gear Solid game, it makes you want to find out about it. I mean, admittedly, I don't think of Rising every single day like I have with other games I hear about. You're like, oh, I wonder if we're going to get any news about that today. You sort of wake up and turn on your iMac and you check the RSS feeds in Firefox, and no, Engadget, Kotaku, Gizmodo, they're not reporting on it yet. And then you sort of slink back to bed all in a huff, you know, at 12 p.m. during the day when you heard work starting at 9. And then you wake up the next day and do the same thing all over again. Maybe, I don't know, if we can be critical of them for announcing it too early, so to speak, or if we should expect them to do it at this point of development. Because we'd be complaining either way, I guess, if we don't have news about it or if we didn't know about it and there were rumors of a new game, we'd want to find out more about it either way, I guess. So. People will whine, that's what I'm saying.
The thing is, I'm feeling like I'm beginning to whine, and therefore I would just want to say that, once again, you know, I said that, you know, I didn't want to talk about Rising, and I'm talking about Rising again, and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just to be honest, I know people may hate me for saying this, but I just don't care anymore. It's just a game. I'm having so much fun with L.A. Noire right now, and I'm probably having more fun of it than I'll ever have with Rising. It's, you know, I don't care. Anyway, next question.
You're porting Metal Gear Solid 4 to NGP.
That's a negative.
Okay, well, no. This is the one that kind of got me. So, when the NGP originally got announced, you had one of the pictures that came with it is MGS4 on NGP. And I'm pretty sure someone at Konami or Kojima said something about it. I don't know. What do we think?
I'm pretty pleased about this. You know, it almost looked as though that was exactly what they were doing, and although it kind of was fun to think of being able to play on the NGP, just the same, you know, sort of rehashing a game which you can play on a big screen kind of seemed not very necessary. So it's good that they're not devoting their time to that, I guess.
Yeah, but the
MGS3DS! MGS3DS!
The point is, they teased people with this when, I'm looking.
It was a tech demo, though.
Oh, this is just going to be like that bloody Final Fantasy yeah. VII tech demo for the PS3. People still want it, you know? I don't know, Jordan.
Yeah, well, I think that NGP thing is going to be a bust, and I think everyone's going to be suckers to buy it, and that Sony's like, yes, we got their money, and then they're just going to like run away and go to the same place as the PSN. You know, they'll just disappear. You'll never see them again. It's going to be pretty crazy, the NGP. I think it really should have a Metal Gear Solid game on it. Peace Walker remade for the NGP with high-def sort of looking graphics. I don't know. Doesn't sound that exciting to me. So I kind of would expect them to port Metal Gear Solid 4 over to it. And, I mean, if it takes them this long to make Rising or to make any of the PSP games, they all took fairly long. Imagine how long it's going to be waiting for the different ports. It's not going to be very fun as a fan. Okay, it's another 2 years and now Metal Gear Solid 4 is out for it. Yay. It's not that exciting, I don't think. The recent games haven't been that exciting to wait for a port. But I do hope that the NGP does get some Metal Gear Solid games, just so I can complain that the NGP ruined a franchise that I love, PSP. Carrying on the torch.
Apparently, the news that seems to be coming out, the rumor is that apparently Sony have halved the NGP specs. So maybe that's why.
Mr. Javier reported on that. Yeah, doesn't that sound ridiculous?
Yeah, maybe it's not true, but maybe that's why. But yeah, I mean, tech demos and everything, I'm one of those old-fashioned people. When you put something on screen and advertise it as so, I think, you've got to try to make it real somehow, but obviously not. Jordan, last words on this.
Yeah, that would be their excuse, right? Oh, no, we didn't say the game was going to be on it. We just put a couple of JPEGs on it. We're just looking through our... Yeah.
The
NGP, though, talking about halving the specs of it, though, I think that's just sort of suicide. I don't think it's going to do very well at all compared to smartphones when the thing finally releases. And to talk about it making it even weaker now, I mean, it sounds like when it finally puts out, it'll be maybe a PSP with a bigger screen, really. They're talking about a 3G and GPS model. Well, that's just an extra chip to throw in the PSP, really. And I think the high-end smartphones by then will absolutely eclipse it. So I don't think this NGP, if they make it even weaker, I don't think it's going to have a very long life. I think it's going to be surpassed at the time it comes out by phones.
Definitely. I just don't know. Look, it's depressing me to talk about this. I don't know why.
Okay, let's talk about happy stories.
Yeah. Well, last question, guys.
This is a happy one, by the way. Let's end on a happy note. Next year, for Metal Gear's 25th anniversary, you're thinking of doing something big.
Finally, yes.
Yes.
Yay!
Okay, so finally big. Maybe they'll announce it at E3. What could be finally big? I don't know.
Making Metal Gear Rex real?
Maybe they're remaking Metal Gear original MSX onto PS3. And when I say remaking, I would urge the listeners to go back and listen to my look at the original MSX version. When I say remake, I mean that in the loosest sense. Re-envision would be more like it, because if you remake the original MSX and Metal Gear, you know, like a faithful remake, that would be a terrible game. That would be the most terrible game of the year, because honestly, that game has a lot of nostalgia behind it. It was the first in stealth, but I'm going to come out and say it. You know, I hosted an MGS podcast for a full year, and I think I've got the right to say it. Playing it now as a modern gamer, it's an awful game. It has so many old first generation game cliches. Like, you just have to guess so much stuff. There's so much repetitiveness. It gets you to just perform repetitive tasks so many times. It gets you to go around, to backtrack like a million times, and you just have to guess. You just have to guess and guess and guess things. I mean, these days, when you have to guess things, it's annoying, but you can go online and look at walkthroughs. Back in those days, in the late 80s, I don't know how people completed that game. I hate to think of the amount of hours that was wasted playing that game, because I can't imagine that being fun. It's like, okay, you're going to go through this maze, and you're going to punch every single inch of the wall until it makes a different sound. And then, when it makes a different sound, you've got to realize to use a grenade on it, and then the wall will explode. But no one's telling you this, you just have to somehow work it out. What the heck?
I commend you for pushing yourself through that.
Yeah, that's just an awful, awful, awful game. I'm sorry to say it right now. I just feel it. When I sat down, I was like, I'm going to play it. This is like the legend. This is the OG. You know, this is the no, dear God, no. It's awful. You know, Jordan.
I suppose Metal Gear Solid 1 was a little like that in the same way, though. I mean, they were doing this to carry on, like, the way it was. MGS1, you know,
actually had
tapping the walls annoyed me. And,
but no, the thing
about... Yeah, but tapping the walls and having to go back for the sniper rifle and things, that was a minor thing, I realised, but it was an annoyance. We hated it at the time.
No, but
and that was only a little taste of it.
They actually gave you clues. The codec was... You kind of had a codec there, but the thing is, Big Boss actually, like, led you astray on purpose. He'd tell you had, like, the wrong things to do. It was awful. MGS1, you could actually complete it on your own because they give you clues. They give you sensible clues. It's just that game is just, it's awful. It really is. Really is. Anyway, continue, Jordan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're kind of on the last question, but I'll keep my thoughts going while I listen to Andrew eating oranges or whatever he's doing. spoiling the theater of the mind. I do think in a lot of ways games have to be more streamlined. I don't know how they could do it either. I still think of Metal Gear Solid 1, though. I was annoyed going back to get the sniper rifle because the first time I played it as a little kid, all afraid of the snow and the ice and the cold and the loneliness, and it was like midnight playing with older friends, and it was a creepy game. And we just realized, like, dude, we have no idea where the warehouse is now. We had no idea where the map was. There was no in-game map, which all modern games have. And we just had no idea where it was, like what elevator, and then you had to hide behind the guards and not get seen, and, oh, it wasn't here, it was somewhere else. And that was annoying at the time. So a whole game of that would drive me nuts. But I guess Peace Walker sort of brought it back as well, the dreaded Peace Walker. And it did that crazy thing with the last boss to get the actual ending of the damn game.
Mm-hmm.
You just had to do basic random things. And I would have never figured it out.
No.
I would have went through... Well, I went through them in order, you know, all the whatever the demos or practices or whatever they were called. Technical missions, whatever. I would have done them, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I would have had no idea that, oh, you have to go back to the first one and that's where the guy will be hiding. I would have kept going through them and it would have just been 5 hours, 10 hours, who the hell knows how. It would have just been time wasted. It would have driven me nuts and I would have felt ripped off.
The thing is, I mean, I've been saying this to people when people go to me like, oh, you've got to play StarCraft. You've got to play Final Fantasy 13. I'm too... old. I mean, I'm 19, but I feel too old for these. I don't have the patience for them anymore. I just don't know why. I don't have the patience to invest into a 50-hour, like game on rails, basically, which is what everyone's telling me Final Fantasy 13 is. You know, I don't have time to spend 10 hours learning how to actually play games like StarCraft or some of these big RPGs properly. In that time, I could actually be learning how to play a very important game more properly called My Life. You know, and maybe win at that, or at least get to, you know, like...
Does it have a reset button?
Get a decent ending. Unfortunately, not. you know, you just don't have the patience. You just don't have the patience for these games. And I felt a lot of times with Peace Walker, that was a problem. But let's go back to this 25th anniversary special. For the 20th anniversary, if I'm correct, they basically took... the first three games, fired up the PS1 and PS2 factories, burned them onto disc, and put them in the box. That was good, I guess. It's a good thing that they didn't actually bother investing into putting the PS1 game onto maybe a PS2 disc. They actually used PS1 discs, and they talked about how Sony was very kind to let them use their old PS1 factory. How cheap do you get? Anyway... Toby, give us your thoughts on what you think this is going to be.
Well, I mean, the most likely thing is, you know, they do a trilogy or a saga for the four games all on PS3, which personally would be amazing, you know, because I haven't played MGS3
enough. Hold on, remade or just repackaged?
Well, repackaged, hopefully HD graphics, you know, on MGS1.
I think a lot of the times fans seem to just accept the horrible things. This is the story. If people are regular listeners, they know I'm a very diehard Star Wars fan, and you know, the Blu-rays have been officially announced and everything. And I'm a big And I talked about this in the movie Patriots briefly, and I'm a big behind the scenes guy. I love my making of, and the Star Wars DVDs have been fantastic. The Empire of Dreams on the 2004 special edition was a fantastic documentary. The Episode 1 making of was a fantastic fly in the wall documentary. Episode 2, Episode 3, they had good documentaries. Just generally, Star Wars has been great for behind the scenes. And usually when I buy these DVDs, I watch them for the behind the scenes. And that's why I love the Lord of the Rings special making edition, blah, 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 set. And, where the Star Wars one is, they were like, this is going to have, 50 hours of brand new additional footage. And then in the end, basically, they haven't, apart from one documentary, which was about the 501st charity work, all the other documentaries have already been out there in one form or another. And they're putting really old documentaries from the 70s there, all of the contents out there. And I'm seriously considering just not buying the Blu-rays because, I'm happy with the quality of DVDs and that kind of stuff. And it's just, just give. And, if Kojima does this kind of thing again, I'm just not going to support them. I'm not going to be one of those pissed off fanboys who buy it and then just go and bitch about it online. I'm just going to vote with my money and not buy it. So, Toby, if you're happy with it, I'm happy for you. But if something in my eyes, repackaging old games isn't special. In my eyes, special is a remake, special in the video games industry. I think something special has to be either a new game or a re-envisioning or a remake, something like that. Toby,
I don't know what they're gonna do, but you have to kind of think. I mean, I'm not saying you're not, but think realistically in the sense. I don't know, I think bringing all the four four main games up till now onto the PS3 is quite a big thing because it's going to take a lot of effort to bring both PS1 and PS2 games onto a PS3, and I think it'd be great to have that because so many people haven't had access to those things, and it's going to open it up to a whole generation to get to play the first, second, and third.
You misunderstand me. I don't want them to remake all of the games. That's impossible. I want them to.
Oh right,
I want them to remake the old ones, because that was apparently they planned this when apparently Kojima went up to the people and said, "What do you want me to do?" And it was remake the old games or make a documentary about MGS4. And people voted for making the document of MGS4. And I was like, you are a bunch of idiots. The dude is offering to remake the original. People literally voted for this is coming from a person who loves making of, but people voted for a making of a game rather than a new game. That's that's just George Lucas saying I can do a making of my movies or I can actually make a new movie, and people vote for a making of a movie that's already existing. That's
mind. That's insane.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know, remake MGS1. MGS1 has been remade about four times in my eyes, to be honest with you. Original GameCube, MGS4, the game's been in some Super Smash Brothers role here, there, everywhere. So it's MGS1 we need to say RIP to MGS1 and just leave the memory there. MGS2 remake, it's my favorite game simply for nostalgia value, but there is no way in hell that's going to happen. MGS2 has been one of those games that just hasn't received any after its release. It seems like Konami and Kojima are afraid to talk about it. Now that you look, MGS1, they keep on remaking, they keep on going back to it. MGS3 seems, MGS3 spawned all these sequels, prequels, side missions. MGS2 is just this, it didn't really happen.
Get out of here.
It's as if it didn't really happen. And MGS2 brought in the Patriots, MGS2 brought in Vamp, it brought in Raiden, the guy who's now the main tentpole for the franchise. But you see what happens, kids, when I start talking about MGS, I just start to get annoyed.
No, but you had that I think it was you who had that idea of doing MGS2 but from Snake's point of view. I love that idea.
I love that idea as well, but they're not going to let me make it, are they?
No, but
he's offering, guys. He's offering Kojima.
Yeah, Kojima, please, I'll do it for minimal pay. Just pay for me to live there and, let me just get some swag from your office, like a life-size Snake statue or something.
Rick's.
And let me put it on my CV as well. But anyway, Anyway, let's so something special. I'm not holding my hopes up too high. You know, I don't want to sound negative, but this is why I stopped the MGS part of the podcast. I just started to just dislike the franchise and where it was going. So I just thought I'd restrain myself. Jordan, final words on this.
And the PSP was to blame. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to admit though, I don't like the idea of remaking games. I just think. I mean, Metal Gear Solid 1, if they did make it again with modern controls and dual stick and everything and HD graphics,
mm-hmm.
It would change the game. It would be kind of weird doing it. And I don't think if maybe games can be so bad graphically that it becomes sort of part of the charm of it, replaying it. I do think it's good if they just re-release them in some form. And I think it should be a digital release because there's so many games out there that are just so hard to get the physical disc of it. Like, Zone of the Enders 2 is a good example. It was just impossible to get it, and I only played it recently.
That's another one of those games that Konami seems to pretend never came out.
Yeah.
It's just, oh.
It's just an incredible game. I mean, I hate lots of things about it. It's just, it's very repetitive. It's very complicated for some bits. The story is a bit crazy. But in so many ways, it's definitely as good as Metal Gear Solid. I mean, I love Zone of the Enders. The actual design, everything, it's great. The actual Jehudi, you're basically like a flying through space Metal Gear Rex. I mean, these things make the Metal Gears look like crap. I mean, they take them out in 2 seconds flat. They can teleport everything. And rather than remaking Metal Gear Solid games, it should be Zone of the Enders 3. It's been talked about since, like, before Metal Gear Solid 4. And Zone of the Enders 3 would be so much better, I'm sure, than any Metal Gear Solid game I can imagine. And I do think they should remake them for the modern platforms. There'd be PlayStation, Xbox, and, you know, NGP could sort of tie in with the PS3. Apparently they're going to be similar and everything that. Mm-hmm. It'd be really cool if they made iOS and Android versions, but it's not going to happen, is it?
We're going to get MGS. It's just not going to happen.
I think we have to mention, though, it does seem that the big companies are so incompetent on a lot of these things. When there is a problem or a remake or something to be made, you can think of it like the jailbroken ones when they were having problems with security and things.
Yeah.
And a jailbreak team, a couple genetically engineered 12-year-olds, they always managed to make a patch for their hacked consoles and it works.
Well, do you know
but
why?
Because Sony or whatever, it always takes a month.
Quite often it's a small team of people or it's one person and, you know, either it's delegation, it's arguing, and, you know, I'm just talking because I've just done my manager's exam, so it's all in my head, but it's all, it's because, you know, when you get a team of executives, investors, shareholders, stakeholders, there's always, there's going to be different views. Why do you think, why does Apple succeed so much? Because Steve Jobs goes in there and he goes, people don't know what they want. You need to show people what they want. And other companies are just going towards where the puck is right now. They're like, yeah, let's do this. And then the companies, and then they just create, you know, this is Microsoft's big problem, that they had, like, at any single time, they have over 50 different R&D projects, which they invest millions in, just constantly just narrow things down. When Steve Jobs first came into Apple, he cut down the R&D department by half. People would get into elevators, they'll get fired when they came out of the elevators. You know, it was... You know, you've got to respect the man.
Because he didn't like their tie.
Yeah. Just respect. Yeah, and that. So it's you know, sometimes people just, it's like an octopus. You're just trying so many different. Yeah, it's. Jordan, just final words, because this topic has eaten up the whole show.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, I just think it is incompetent of the large, like, console makers when you compare what the fans do. I saw a couple of days ago that fans of Grand Theft Auto 4, which wasn't such a great game, I mean, I was looking forward to
amazing.
It, but
it was an amazing game. Jordan, what's wrong with you?
It was a turd on the bottom of a shoe. It was
Grand
terrible.
Theft Auto, Jordan, look, oh, dear God. Jordan's opinions don't reflect those of the population of this planet. Grand Theft Auto 4 was a modern masterpiece, sir.
It's no San Andreas.
It's a masterpiece. It's up there with San Andreas in many ways, better than
you only it. Say that because he's from the mother country, right?
No, seriously, San Andreas has things GTA 4 doesn't have. GTA 4 has many things San Andreas, but those games are just those,
like,
those
fun
games
things.
Are examples of video games perfection in my eyes and the eyes of many other people.
If the game only has you having one home base at a time to save your game, Grand Theft Auto 3 style,
Jordan,
as opposed to buying mansions and airfields next to Area 51 and, you know V-style jets, no bloody planes, are you blinking
you,
kidding
I did not, on GTA,
yeah.
In San Andreas, I did not care for those things. I didn't care about getting, originally I was like, yeah, you can get a buff, look at you, you look like Mike Tyson, yeah, excellent, whatever. After a couple of attempts, you don't care. You don't care about the missions. For me, it's just I want to play the missions. I want to enjoy the story. I want to ride around in some cars, run over some people, shoot some things, fly some helicopters. I'm done. That's it. And GTA 4, just fantastic, streamlined, none of this. You can do things if you want to do them, but screw you. No, you, Jordan. I mean, just generally. I'm getting mad here.
Thanks. Andrew's opinions do not reflect that of the Grand Theft Auto community.
Andrew's opinions reflect everyone's opinions because Andrew is the owner of the show.
Okay, well, I'll quickly wrap up what I was saying. So some fans, there apparently are still people that play the game. I love the in-game videos that they make, Makima or Machinima or however you say it. I know all the anime fans. No, I should say enemy. I just want to annoy them. I'm trying to piss them off as much as I can. I want to get hate emails. jwontdart@gmail.com.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Jordan.
When they make games in game, they do it in game engine games, and they make the videos of it.
Yeah.
So they set up all the lighting and the vehicles and everything. It's really cool. I saw a couple of days ago of Grand Theft Auto. They made some kind of script on the PC version. It basically drives around the whole game world. It takes photos and it made a Google Street View of the whole game of it.
Yes, I saw that.
So it's really awesome when you see the in-game map and you can see Street View, and it's like, imagine how they did this. Fans did this. No one was getting a dime to make this thing. Yet Rockstar would never bother doing it, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I've no idea what I'd use it for, but I was blown away to use it just to put the little Street View thing down a couple places.
It's cool.
It's incredible.
It exists, yeah. Anyway, let's.
Well, so you could,
but it's like.
Sorry.
Yeah, Toby, very last words.
I was just so what? So you could actually like on your browser go around GTA 4.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Guys, this topic has eaten up the whole of the show, which is very unfortunate. I've got to go soon, but let's just continue for a bit longer. So, overall, Kojima's answered. You know, the thing is, Kojima answered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He answered like eight questions with yes or no, and we spend nearly an hour talking about them. You know, it's I'm starting to care less and less about what used to be my favorite franchise. I don't know why. It's very sad,
my friend.
Yeah, it's very sad to me, but it's time to move on. It's just going in different directions, and I can now understand what the original trilogy Star Wars fans mean when they say, you know, they don't like the prequel trilogy, but they can go shut up because I love it. Anyway, let's continue this. What I want to do is I want to quickly do the E3, what we want from E3, our predictions, I guess, and then we're gonna just wrap up the show. But before that, Jordan, very quickly talk about the PSP remastered series, because I know this is something you really want to talk about. So just quickly, let's start it up.
Sure thing. Well, I think we've been very clever, haven't we, Toby, by wrapping it all up and talking about remakes all throughout the episode. I'll put it quick. You know, I think the PSP was an abomination on the face of the earth. I think it's got basically no redeeming qualities. I think it's unique games made for it. No one in their right mind would ever want to play them again. I don't think making them again in HD for the PlayStation 3, which is apparently going to be, you know, superseded by a PlayStation 4, according to the rumors here, it'll come out in 5 years' time. I just think it's a terrible idea to remake them and for people to have to buy the games over again after they bought them a couple of years ago and hated them.
Jordan, for those people who don't actually know what we're
have
talking
a hate
about,
for the PSP?
So the PSP games are being, are they being remade or ported? What does remastered mean onto the PS3? I mean, are those the same games, but they're going to have a little bit of a touch-up, a bit of a nip-tuck?
Lifts, apparently.
Botox? Toby?
Maybe make a second stick work on them, who knows? They're basically, as we've been talking about, remaking PSP games for PS3.
Toby?
I mean, they've shown sort of screens of it, whether, you know, the graphics are like a lot better, a lot less pixelating, and obviously it utilizes the second analog stick. But I don't know, personally, like, I never played Peace Walker just because I hated the PSP so much. And, you know, with the possibility of that coming, which is almost a certainty that Peace Walker will be on the PSP remastered list, I'm actually really looking forward to playing that because people have said, you know, it's not a terrible game. It's just the fact that it's on the PSP.
Which makes it a terrible game.
Exactly. So if I can play on PlayStation,
the story itself is terrible. Trust me.
The story is a bit narrow.
Trust me.
I'm still excited to play it, but there are other games which haven't been appreciated simply because
Vice City Stories.
Oh God.
We're talking
I can't wait till the rest of the crew can get their game.
Where's my Vice City Stories? Hold on. Where, like, oh, you can hear the PSP spinning. Listen to it spin.
Oh, fucking.
There. Wait. Well, there you go. Look, Vice City
Stories. I've got my copy of it now.
Let me get on a bike. Let me just play some of the radio stations. Look at that. Oh yeah. Listen. Yeah. Oh, I just got kicked out of a car. Never mind. Anyway, but
yeah, I'm looking at it now. Alien stole my brain and drank my liquor. Earned $10,000 a month forever.
It's the spirit. It's bloody awful. Still there. Anyway, Jordan, let's not get into this because we're never going to settle those debates. So yeah, the games are being remastered. I personally see this in an optimistic light because there are games in the PSP which I have enjoyed, the Vice City Stories, Liberty City Stories, and. Actually, that's probably bad, to be honest.
It's two. I hated both. So.
But I would like to play those games on the PS3. Toby.
I think that it's almost Sony kind of accepting that it's almost a failure, or if not a failure, like it's over. Like they just want to get that past thing. Because, you know, that they've done the PS1 games on PlayStation Network, and it's so we're bringing to that, you know, the PSP is over now. Mm. Which is a good thing, very good thing.
It would be nice to actually get some bloody backwards compatibility for the PS3 from the PS2. You know, that would be a good. But never mind. Anyway, okay, that's just the one thing I was going to talk about. L.A. Noir, and we were going to talk about the PlayStation 4 development plans, but we're going to have to push that to next week, unfortunately. Just to say, L.A. Noir, stellar game. Rockstar, in my books, can do no wrong. Every single game that's come out from Rockstar in the last decade has just been top-notch. You know, GTA 4. The GTA 4 episodes are fantastic. Gay Tony was on par up there with GTA 4. Red Dead Redemption.
Wow, that's not saying much.
Shut up. Red Dead Redemption is an amazing game.
I could have
so much fun riding through the desert on a horse without a radio.
Fantastic music direction as well.
Yes. Oh, great game.
Do the horse have a name?
The horse.
Been through the desert on a horse with no name. Yeah, San Andreas reference, guys. Yeah, I love San Andreas. Yeah,
okay. L.A. Noir carries on, even though it's Team Bond. It's a Sydney studio.
Bondi.
Bondi. It's still published by Rockstar, and you can definitely see it. Originally, I thought to myself it was going to be GTA 4 in the 40s. No, it still has the free roam element and it still has the driving mechanics. But the amazing thing, and I saw a video of this on Kotaku recently, where GTA 4, when you run over people, they die. This time, people actually like jump out of the way and stuff, because in this game you're actually playing a good guy and they don't want you to actually kill people. It's still free roam, and you can see elements of, like, if you've played the GTA games, this shares the same pedigree. It's like its cousin, where you get in the car, it's triangle. You know, if you want to make the map bigger, you push down on the D-pad. It's got that signature, you know, like, you know, when you buy a pair of Ray-Bans, you know they're Ray-Bans. They have the little Ray-Bans on the side of them, you know, on the top. Or when you buy an Apple product, there's this kind of feeling. There is this amazing Rockstar feeling for me but it's a completely different game. I never thought I'd be interested going around trying, like, solving crimes, you know, and that kind of stuff. But it works. It really works. And what I'm going to say is, the facial mechanics, everyone I showed it to, my parents, they thought it was a movie. You know, it's, I mean, the graphics themselves, they're not as polished as something like Resistance 3 or Uncharted 2, but the facial, because the game is huge, you know, it takes up a lot of space, but just the facial animation, this new technique they use there is amazing. Every single game should use it now. It's a really, really great game, and I'm struggling because I've got exams now, but I want to play the game, and it's, I'm going to give a full review after I complete the game, which will be probably very soon. So stay tuned for that. Toby, what do you want to say about it?
I was just going to say, you know, I'm super excited to play it. Yeah. You know, the thing is, what were you saying about the, you know, the good guy thing? It's like, I love GTA 4. It's all kinds of awesome. But it kind of had that discrepancy where in the mission, you're kind of this guy who's, you know, meant to be trying to be good. But then you're fucking around. Yeah. You're just driving over people, and that's fine for that, but it's kind of nice that, you know, have this game where, you know, you're not meant to just kind of run over people and go rampages.
That, you know, and it sticks true. I mean, you know, I studied noir movies and genre back in media studies, and secondary school, and it's, you know, it really sticks to that, you know, the story concept. You can play the game in black and white, just the camera angles, the music is fantastic, the actual, the characters, it's really, really great. It's if there is like a best direction award, that's it's got to win the Oscar for that or whatever it is. So I'd recommend that game to everyone. It's right now, so far, it's game of the year in my eyes.
Well, no, they haven't. You played Portal 2?
No. I want to play. That's next on my list. Portal 2 is next. So yeah, and then after that, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. So we're gonna get through that. And,
nice.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's wrap the episode up. What I want to do is E3 is coming along. Okay, and the way I want to do this is each of us. I want to go around the table and. I want, you're going to answer three things, I guess. You're going to, one thing each of us is going to say is what they want to be unveiled, shown, playable at E3. The second one is what they think is going to be shown, available at E3. But it can't be something easy like that. It can't be like, I think Madden 12 is going to be shown. No, it's got to be something, you know, more. And the third one is what they think will not be shown at this year's E3. So, first one is what they want to be shown at E3. You can be as anything you want. The second one is you're putting your virtual PatriotCast money down, your credibility, what you think is going to be at E3, and what you think not is going to be at E3. Okay, who wants to go first? Jordan, you want to go last? Toby, would you like to go first?
Sure. Okay, sure, so, but bullet.
Toby, Mr. Edwards, what do you think, starting off with the first one, what do you want to be unveiled in E3 2011?
I'm pretty sure it will be unveiled. I'm really looking forward to a Hitman unveil, Hitman 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's reasons. One favourite series. I don't know, it's been a long time since they come out. They're fantastic games. You know, murdering people in lots of different ways is always good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game, and it's almost pretty positive that it'll come out with, so, you know, with all the okay. news recently.
Right, so that's the one you want to come out. Which one do you think will come out? What do you think, I'm sorry, not come out, what do you think will be unveiled, shown? It can be a console, a game, an announcement of a game. It can be playable, non-playable, just a video.
I'm going to snag the easy option and say GTA 5.
GTA 5, okay, well, that's interesting. GTA 5, are you going to go for GTA 5? Right. So that's the one you place your money down and say, yes, GTA 5 will be out. Jordan, sorry. Lastly, what do you think will not be unveiled at E3?
I'm pretty disappointed that I don't think The Last Guardian will be out. You know, it's gone all on the quiet, and I was really looking forward to that. But yeah, I don't think that's coming out, at least then.
Okay, very interesting. I think I'm going to go next. So, what I want to be unveiled at E3, Sega is back with the Dreamcast 2. No, that's not going to happen. what I want more than anything, I want GTA 5 to be at least... I want there to be a trailer for it, at least a trailer, you know, and I'd like it to be in Vice City or California or something glamorous,
yes.
something by the sea. And I mean, yeah, GTA 4 was by the sea, but you know what I mean, this kind of like palm tree pink kind of thing. And I mean, there have been shady, I mean, we should have talked about this, but there has been kind of like three shady screenshots of it, but it seems a bit irrelevant.
Looks dodgy, looks really dodgy.
Pretty really dodgy, doesn't it? So that's what I want to be unveiled at E3. What I think will be unveiled at E3, that's an interesting one. I think that at this year's E3 we will, I mean, I'm not going to say Cafe because that's already a certainty, they're going to do that. I think at this year's E3 we're going to get the new PSP2. We're going to get the redesign, and they're going to say that they've taken bits out, and they're going to show the price, the when it's going to come out, and all that kind of stuff. Well, that sounds a bit predictable as well, because you know that's Sony kind of have to do that. I'm trying to go for something ballsier, something more racy. You see, that's the thing. I want to say I put my money down just like Toby and say that the GTA 5 is going to come out, but I've been reading analysts and stuff like that. I mean, they're not always right. Mostly they're not right, actually. And it seems like GTA 4 has been kind of in the back seat right now. You know, the stocks are going down in Rockstar and that kind of stuff. And if it does come out, it's not going to be this year because, you know, Rockstar have this thing where they release like one major game a year, and last year was Red Dead, and this year it's L.A. Noire, and next year it could be GTA 5, or it could be like Max Payne 2, 3, that kind of stuff. So, see, I really want a GTA 5, but I don't know. I'm just going to go with the Sony, the safe one. And what I think will not be unveiled at E3, I don't think we're going to get another Xbox. I don't think we're going to get, like, Xbox 2, 3, or whatever, 720, because they've just spent, you know, $500 million in developing the Kinect, and they're not just going to go and abandon that now. They're going to try to support that one. So, I mean, those are my predictions. They're a bit boring, but I don't really know. Jordan, what do you want to be unveiled?
$500 million on Kinect is what I have to say. 500 million American.
Is it?
Holy hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what yeah, half yeah, a billion
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yes. Yes, it is, yeah.
Holy hell. What would I like to see? Well, I'd like to see a sign saying that the PSP has been declared dead. I'd like to see that the NGP will be coming out soon. It'll be sort of comparable with smartphones now, and that somehow it'll be, you know, it'll stay relevant. I guess I'd like to see a lot more old Sony games available through the PSN. And I don't know, I don't have an Xbox, I can't really talk about live. I just hope that they will make a lot more old games easily available. I mean, there's no physical cost to having product on shelves at some kind of game store. So I hope that there'll be more digital downloads available of popular games that people can replay. Metal Gear Solid, I'm not really expecting anything. Grand Theft Auto 5, I hadn't thought of it for a while. I am looking forward to it. I hope.
Stop. Sorry. I asked you for one thing, you're giving me six.
Yeah, that's the Jordan way.
That's
the Jordan way.
After.
That's called cheating, Jordan. But okay, yeah, okay. Just
that's
continue.
Why I go last. Okay.
Okay, no, actually, don't continue.
Okay.
What do
what
you
I
think?
Expect? What I expect?
Will. What do you think will?
Okay. I expect that there'll be a guy there called Toby, and that he'll do a really good job reporting it. And absolutely. I think he deserves a pay rise from $0 to, I don't know, 100 quid a second, or I don't know how things work in the UK. It's a bit confusing for me.
Yeah,
100 quid, I'm sure 100 quid a second. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Toby's going to get a pay rise the day that Jordan's going to get a pay rise, and Jordan's going to get a pay rise the day I actually get paid for this show. So, and that's probably never going to be.
So, yeah. My predictions are there's going to be a guy called Toby there, and he's going to do a good job. What I don't want to see there, I don't want to see a guy called Javier there. Just kidding, Javier. I want to see Javier there as well. I don't know. What don't I want to see there? I don't want to see the PSP store there. Let's end on that.
I don't think you're going to see the PSP there. I think you might see like...
Then I win.
Yeah, you win. okay, well, I mean, those are kind of like... Those are our predictions. I guess there's nothing. I'm trying to think of something that's, you know, trying to play the inside card. It's going to be interesting. Who do we think is going to win the conference thing? You know, they always have the three conferences and the big three companies, and every year, the industry unofficially crowns the winner of the conferences. I believe last year it was Nintendo when they showed the 3DS and all that kind of stuff. Even though last year's conference, Miyamoto came out on stage and the Zelda game didn't work for shit. And he was just waving his arms around, and Link wasn't doing anything, and he was blaming people and turning off your wires.
Yeah, the excuse was the phones in the audience.
Yeah, yeah, that's Steve Jobs' excuse. So, and they still won. What do you think, Toby? Who do you think is going to win?
I think it's tough. I mean, obviously, you got to differentiate between the console developers and the third party publishers.
No, we're talking about first party consoles.
First party. Yeah. Oh God, you know. This year, there doesn't seem like there's any strong suit. It's kind of make or break for Nintendo, whether Project Cafe is impressive or not. But unless they got like Sony or Microsoft have got any massive surprises up their sleeve, Sony's going to should be spending their whole conference basically apologizing.
Yeah. Do you think they will mention it? Do you think they'll like, or do you think that they'll mention it, but it'll be like a mention like it wasn't really our fault. It was like we've experienced difficulties, but
you know, I think they will do that, and I think that will come off very badly.
Yeah.
You know, if it were me controlling it, I'd spend a lot of time on it. And Microsoft, I mean, they've been quiet. Unless they've got anything massive up their sleeve, I can't see anything.
You think they're gonna get that dude in like the sports outfit, like the Kinect guy, and he's gonna come out there and he's gonna be like, "Okay, now, have you ever wanted to see what a cat looks like?" And then the cat breaks, and then the limbs go inside, and it goes pow, and then it dies, and he fails horribly. And I remember we're gonna do like an E3 fail episode, like when they first announced Wii Play, when that dude came out of the drums. Do you remember? And he started drumming, and it was just not hitting any of them. And but yeah, personally, I think Nintendo's going to win this one. Sony has been handicapped, has been kind of shot in the foot by shotgun, by being taken down. So there is no. I mean, what are Sony going to unveil this year? NGP, yes, but nothing major really, because again, I don't think they can announce a PS4. If they will, that's going to be amazing and out of left field. But just like Nintendo, they have spent a lot of money on launching the Move. So I think they're going to. I think Sony's just going to. And I think the thing this year is Sony, they're not going to do that typical developer thing where they're going to go like, then, you know, they're going to show a chart and it's like, Microsoft and Nintendo are doing worse than us because of this. I think this year they're just going to keep.
Are they going to get Kevin Butler out on stage to try and apologize?
This year they're going to shut up because they've screwed up a bit. So, but I'm saying Nintendo. Jordan, what do you say?
Well, I think it's pretty easy to give it to Nintendo. I mean, this cafe thing is going to make a huge smash. Either it's going to be terrible, or it's going to be as great as everyone's talking about. It really does seem like Nintendo are like an Apple-like company. I don't really think there's many that get as much publicity as Apple. And Nintendo definitely is very similar, just in approach and design and things. How they're very integrated, how it's all like Nintendo games. There's not really that many great non-Zelda, non-Mario games for the consoles. But, you know, there's always a chance it could be terrible. I don't know. Microsoft, I don't know what the hell they're going to show. I don't really keep up with Microsoft games. I don't think there's anything amazing planned. Sony, I don't think Sony can apologize enough, and I don't think they could do it on stage. I mean, are they going to pay millions to have all their guys flown there, and they're just going to go up on stage and just bow and say, "We're really sorry, come back, please don't go to Xbox Live"? They can't do that. I mean, imagine the media coverage of it if they did, you know. They just look absolutely pathetic, and it wouldn't change anything. They can't really make out what's happened. I mean, it was just ridiculous, and it's just a terrible black mark on them for years to come. So it is Nintendo's game. It's Nintendo's to lose, and I do think it's not going to make sense to me, but this cafe thing is going to get a lot of hype and attention, and it's going to be a success, I'm sure of it. I guess maybe you could say they did the smart thing. They put out kind of a crappy early console with a really unique thing to it, you know, shaking it around to make it do things, and people loved it. And now they get to release the same thing, now with HD, kids, and people will buy it all over again. It'll make profit. From day one.
I was having a go at Jordan for not being optimistic about the cafe, but as we near, and I start to get the memories back from the old E3s of 2005, watching it as an impressionable youth, Nintendo lied. And if they lie again, well, I'm just going to do what I did this generation and not buy the console.
You tainted man.
You show them, Andrew.
Or buy it and
100 million people will do it anyway.
Buy it and then sell it for half the price like a chump. Anyway, but yeah, that's interesting. What Jordan said, Microsoft, I mean, what are they going to show? I mean, are they going to do their general generic nothing. Microsoft where they bring a bunch of third parties up and they're going to be like, Modern Warfare 3, let's see it being played. And, you know, Activision's like, yes, look, you know, we have a different team, but it's the same game.
That's going to suck, eh?
And then I think, I don't know, Gears of War, maybe the new Bungie project. I think they're going to... I think Microsoft, it's interesting for Microsoft what they're going to do this year. But I definitely don't think there's going to be another Xbox because that's going to be bad for them. Because I remember last year's E3 where they gave an Xbox to everyone, the brand new redesigned one, you know? All right, Jordan, last thoughts.
Well, yeah, Microsoft. I mean, what games does Microsoft have that are great exclusives now? Halo was always the Xbox title, and Halo's either, pretty much dead, isn't it?
But neither Sony nor Microsoft have any great exclusives.
I know.
Anymore. So, you know,
they don't have any mascots or anything. Like, Nintendo's had nothing but mascots. I mean, Zelda would be a Nintendo game by itself. You know, Mario would do it just fine by itself.
Yeah.
Hell, Nintendogs and Pokemon. I mean, they've got everything.
Yeah.
And people just keep buying the damn same consoles, really, just for those same three or four games. I don't think Sony, they lost all their exclusives. I mean, Sony have done nothing but screw up when you look at... let's put it this way. In 10 years' time, when we look at the Wikipedia article for the PlayStation 3, because Wikipedia will be here forever, it's going to be nothing but failure. I mean, just everything wrong, too expensive, too slow. And I love my PS3. I mean, I've got the launch one. They took features out of all the other ones. But it seems like everything's gone wrong with it, and that they just sort of lost market share and position to Nintendo got all the money. It has the console everyone likes the most. Xbox 360 is the hardcore console. Mm. And the PlayStation is just this big thing that... I mean, it's got all the hardware there, but it just doesn't have the games, and it just seems to have screwed everything up. And I think we should mention that when the big PSN outage went on, I mean, they had a little bit on the Sony New Zealand sites about it, but it was all just like a bribe about the NGP. It's like, we know that some people are having technical difficulties. Yeah, 70 million accounts hacked worldwide. It's down for about 2-3 weeks, whatever. They just had all these pictures of the NGP. It's like, coming next year or whatever. The NGP. It's a new PSP, and it's half a meter thick, and it's going to be quad-core at the same time all the phones will be quad-core. It felt like a bribe. So I wonder what they can do at E3 to put sort of like a polish on the turret for Microsoft and Sony. I think we know Nintendo's got the big product, you know, cafe. It's like, wow!
Jordan.
The others, not so much.
Jordan Wyatt, king of subtlety since 1998. Do you know what, I mean, see, the thing is, you made me lose my trail of thought now, Jordan. Excellent. I'm just going to end the show without a witty response. I hate when it happens.
Sorry.
I'm just going to cry and play my Vice City stories until I forget all about this awful event.
oh, God. Seriously, Toby, it sucks. The game's
great.
Terrible.
It's great. It's great. Anyway, don't listen to him, Toby. He's full of evil.
Okay. I hope listeners can look forward to a future episode where we just talk about that one game for an hour. We'll do it in depth.
One day. Yeah, we're going to do it in real depth. Yeah. Right, anyway, well, I think. We should wrap the show up on this note. Jordan, as always, thank you for being here. You can find Jordan at... Give us the new URL.
coexistingwithnonhumananimals.co.nz and invsoc.org.nz for the Invercargill Vegan Society. It was great being here, guys.
And your new episode was out yesterday, I believe.
A couple of days ago. Yeah.
And quickly, quick summary of what you talk about on the newest episode.
I talk about Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter.
Oh, I miss him. He was a nice guy.
I talk about a radio host coming out as homosexual, which was cool, and that there's a place nearby that they don't like gay people so much, and he was gay from there, and it makes my area look positively like London instead of a redneck sort of southern place.
I thought Jordan was going to be like really like, yeah, there's a place nearby where they don't like gays. It's called Australia. And
I should mention, it's my one last thing, my absolute last thing before we have to go. One of the Hobbit cast members came into my shop, and they bought some things. So I've got a business card from one of the Hobbit cast and the woman in charge. Yeah.
Nice.
It's not quite as interesting as being at E3, maybe, but I heard that there's this dragon, and he's called like Smaug and stuff. And like in the end, all the little short people, they go back home with like lots of money and stuff. So that's an exclusive for the Patriot cast on the Hobbit movie.
Nice.
So it was quite neat. And they
spent the
about,
book that's about 70 years old. Excellent. It's
you heard it here, not first.
As I keep saying, they spent $200 in our shop. So that's pretty good. I'm going to pay about, I don't know, $10 for a movie ticket. They gave us $200. Sounds about right. Or I could just, you know,
tell them
to
God. Anyway, Well, that's
Jordan. So it's great being here, guys.
It's great to have you here. That's an interesting segue. You know, not going to E3, but someone is going to E3. Toby, you are going to E3, and apart from, you know, on the Patriot cast, where can people find you?
I'll be doing daily reports on both my blog, which is mytwosenses.com.
Okay.
I haven't updated that in a while, but I will be doing that for them. And also a technology site called Zath, which is zath.co.uk. I've been doing daily articles on that, and then probably a summary one, and obviously, hopefully, daily podcasts for the Patreoncast.
Yes, yes, and stay tuned for more information about that. Or if you don't get any, it's just going to be the shows are just going to come out. But we'll try to cover that as great as we can. Anything else, Toby?
No, yeah, that's it. I look forward to that.
Excellent. Well, and as always, you're going to find the Patriot Cast on Twitter. That's actually, even though I haven't updated it. Do you know what? Just listen to the show and rate us. Just do that. That's all I'm asking of right now. And get more listeners. We need more listeners. The listener count's been going down a bit recently. And
I blame the PSP.
Yeah. If the listener count keeps on going down and down, unfortunately, we're going to have to stop the show because I'm not willing to really, you know, get the guys here together and spend my time recording all of this for like 40 people that listen to. You know, it's. So please, you know, try to spread the word. Forums, blogs, friends, enemies, relatives, people on the street. You know, whatever. They won't punch you. I promise. Maybe a little. Anyway. So on that note, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time. Thank you.